It's Luke chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 27, page 862. Okay, we got it. So let's read together from verse 27, Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and we're reading through to verse 36. Together? But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So what we're looking at tonight is this passage where Jesus gives out this incredibly challenging message. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. And tonight's challenge is this. Show love to everyone, even the most unlovable, in the same way that God has loved you. Show love to everyone, even the most unlovable, in the same way that God has loved you. Now, this challenge that Jesus puts out there is truly authoritative. Love your enemies. You know, quite often Jesus says, you've heard the commandment, but I say to you. Well, it's the same kind of thing here. Because if he'd said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, his hearers back in first century Israel, what do you think, what would their reaction have been? It will have been, yep, well done, Jesus, you got it right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we know that well. Love the Lord your God. If he'd said, love your neighbors as yourself, what do you think the reaction would have been? They would have gone, yep, absolutely, Jesus. Leviticus 19, we know it well. But no. Jesus blows their minds and ours with not love God, not love your neighbor, but love your enemies. Love your enemies. This authoritative test of our repentance and faith. You remember back in COVID where we had to grab a swab, stick it up our nose, stick it down our throat, or the other way around. I hope you got it wrong as well. Anyway, then you put it in the juice, squeeze the juice into the receptacle, and if there were lines that came up, you got it. Or, like me, before I met Tommy's sister, it was in a rush to get to church, didn't really look. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Went off to church, came back, there were lines. She got COVID 2 days later. This is a similar test. It's a test of our faith. Jesus is putting it out there. Love your enemies. The standard is up here. How well do you stack up to the standard that Jesus sets? Let's take a look at it. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Verse 27, do you see that? Do good to those who hate you. It's very practical. But hang on a minute. Those who hate you, do good to them. Then the next one, see this in verse 28. Bless those who curse you. This is all about what you say. How easy do you find that? How easy do I find that? Someone who curses me, says a really bad thing about me, do I bless them? The next thing is prayerful. So it's practical, then with our speech, then prayerful. Verse 28, pray for those who abuse you. When did you last pray for someone who you found find really, really difficult? Then Jesus goes on, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. How unnatural is that? Someone punches you and you turn around and say, okay, I'll take it. Because let's face it, you know, what do they say? An event happens, flight, fight. So you know which one of those you are. Jesus says, nope, there's a third option. Forgo your rights. Yep, absolutely. You hit me once, hit me again. Jesus says, you have no rights when you love your enemies. You have no entitlement. Then the next thing, see verse 29, second half. From one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Excuse me. It's winter's day, December the 1st. You're out on Chiswick High Road. Someone come. You're in your beautiful Canada Goose jacket, which has cost you a lot of money. And someone comes and rips it off your back. What do? You take your shirt off, give it to him, and you go naked down Chiswick High Road. Really, Jesus? That's what he's saying. How does that make you feel? Are you uncomfortable yet? I'm very uncomfortable with Jesus' standard that he sets. To sacrifice myself, my comfort, my money, my pride, my honor, Jesus says, sacrifice it all. Excuse me, Jesus? No, surely you don't mean this. Surely not. No. This is the test that Jesus is setting. It's a call to complete generosity with my possessions, my dignity, my honor, my pride. It's a call to go over and above what's expected at a significant cost to my comfort. Look at verse 30. Give to everyone who begs from you. Excuse me, Jesus. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. What? Are you mad? Jesus is setting this bar, and let's face it, this makes us all feel very uncomfortable. Do you know what I do when I read this? I go, yeah, but Jesus doesn't really mean that. Are you doing that as well? I see what it says, but he doesn't really mean give to everyone who begs from you. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Well, frankly, so far, Jesus has said, do more than I would expect them to do for me, to me. Give, 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 no stopping, do not demand it back. What is Jesus doing here? He's setting this bar of loving your enemies so high. Do you live up to that standard? I don't. Does anyone? Does anyone live up to pass the test that Jesus is setting? But what about enemies? I have no enemies, you say. Well, take a look at verse 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, your enemies are those who don't love you. Well, I have plenty of those. Verse 33. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Do I do good to those who don't do good to me? No, it's much easier to be nice to the people who are nice to you, right? Verse 34. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. So in other words, Jesus is saying, give your money liberally to others, not expecting anything back. My enemies are very many. The bar for enemies is not someone I'm having a war with. It's the people who do not love me, who don't do good to me, to those who I give expecting nothing back from. But there's another type of enemy in this passage. Just look back to verse 11. This is the Pharisees. They've been criticizing Jesus. And then there's this little sinister verse, 11. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. So the Pharisees, powerful political and religious party, are plotting to kill Jesus. Two verses later, verse 13. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12. Come and join me, be my follower. Oh, by the way, I've got a death threat over my head. And what are the disciples told to do in verse 27? Love your enemies. Excuse me, Jesus. I'm not sure if I can take this. And of course, we remember lots of other people who couldn't take what Jesus said. Remember the rich young man? Jesus said, sell everything you have. And do you remember what he did? He went away sad. He couldn't live up to Jesus's standard. And the point is, none of us can. Who here can say that they love their enemies in the way that Jesus is demanding? Jesus's standard is so high. It's an alarming revelation. And what we learn is a complete twist in the story. So Helen and I have been watching a really stupid but fun detective program called Ludwig. Has anybody seen Ludwig? I highly recommend it if you like silly, funny detective stories. Ludwig is a puzzle setter and solver. That's his job. And the stupid thing about the story is that he has an identical twin who's a detective. And so you can imagine what happens. The detective disappears and Ludwig takes his place. And so Ludwig, the puzzle solver, not the policeman, has to solve these crimes. And so a murder happens, evidence is mysterious and you can't work it out. And of course, what happens? The denouement happens. You've got all of the, what are they called? The people who could have done it. The suspects in the room, and Ludwig works out through sort of like, you know, the puzzle, solving the puzzle that you did it, and it's the least expected to do it. I'm not really explaining it very well, but you get what I mean. It's the least suspicious person has died. Their twist is at the end. And we've got a twist in our passage here. Look at verse 36. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Hang on a minute. Wait a minute. So love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Basically, that's a repeat of what he's just been saying. And basically, we've got to the point where we're going, I can't meet that standard. I'm feeling very uncomfortable. I don't reach that standard of loving your enemies. And then Jesus says, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Well, I don't qualify. Do you qualify? Do you naturally qualify to Jesus' standard of loving your enemies? No, you don't. So what does that make you and me? It doesn't make us sons of the Most High. But then he says, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Here's the twist in the story. Who are the ungrateful and the evil? Well, I'm not a son of the Most High. So what does that make me? Jesus is lumping me with the ungrateful and the evil. Excuse me, Jesus. Well, you don't meet my standard. So suddenly, the twist in the you see the twist in the story, where I think Jesus is saying, and he is, by the way, we'll get to it, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. I think he's saying that to me, but actually, I'm the enemy. Excuse me? I'm the enemy. I'm the ungrateful and the evil. I don't reach God's standard. I don't meet that standard of loving my enemies. But the amazing revelation is that I am the enemy. I am the ungrateful and the evil. I'm the one that doesn't meet the standard. Jesus' command exposes my selfish heart, my lack of willingness to sacrifice, my lack of generosity. Who here meets up to Jesus' standard of self-sacrifice and generosity? None of us. So the question is for you and me, do we recognize our selfish heart? Do we admit that actually we're the enemy in need of his love? We're in desperate need for God to love his enemies, and that's me. So, the amazing declaration is that God loves his enemies. Verse 36, Verse 35, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. We all like the pregnant pause. Remember the... Oh, I should have done. We all like the pregnant pause. You all like pottery throwdown? Of course you do. It's great. The guy who always weeps when he sees a beautiful pot. No? Does no one else watch this show? I can't think of any others. Sewing Bee. I bet some of you watch the Sewing Bee. No? This isn't working. X Factor. You all watch the X Factor. One. Thank you. MasterChef. Who watches? You all watch MasterChef. Yes. You know what I mean. Where at the end of the show, the host gets the contestants and the host goes, and the winner is... pause. And it's the sort of thing we all hate and love because you sort of, oh, it's so predictable. But it's, you get the vibe of the tension that's in the room. Or the flip side is when they go, and this week we're going to say goodbye to pause. Well, we have a pregnant pause in our passage. Verse 35. Love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. So there's a sort of double or triple meaning here. As he says, God will be kind to the ungrateful and the evil. You will be sons of the Most High. There's this incredible sense of God's grace here. None of us deserve him, his love. We don't meet his standard. He's kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And the incredible, amazing declaration that God loves his enemies. And what we see in 1 Peter 2 is this. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Read this, look at this on the screen, and then think of the passage that we've just been reading. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. Who does this describe in our passage? Well, it's Jesus. The great example of the one who loved their enemies, who turned the other cheek, who went the extra mile, who gave up their cloak, who did good to those who hated them, was Jesus himself. On the road to the cross, it was Jesus who is our great example of what the one who's perfectly loved their enemies. So when it says in verse 35, your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Well, here's Jesus, the Son of the Most High, saying that we also, who fail, who fall short, we also can be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Do you realize just how much the Lord Jesus loves you? That he loves his enemies, we who fall far short, who are ungrateful and evil, and yet he loves us. Romans 5 says that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't wait for us to reach the standard, otherwise we'd never be saved. Instead, it was while we were still sinners, while we were still ungrateful and evil, while we were still enemies, that Christ died for us. That's how much Christ loves you. That's how much he loves me. It's Christ that loves his enemies, that does good to those who hate him. But also, this command that Jesus makes is ambitious and outrageous, because he does mean it. His standard is that we should love our enemies. We're not going to reach his standard, we know that, in our natural selves. We're down on our knees saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I can't meet your standard. I'm ungrateful and evil. I take hold of your love. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Give me strength to even slightly get up to your standard of love. Help me to beat my own natural selfishness. Help me to serve you and to serve others, even the most unlovable, in the same way that you have loved me. So Jesus is saying two things at the same time. And of course, the English language loves this sort of thing. The English language loves one word meaning two different things. Bark. What's a bark? What is bark? It's a dog's noise, or it's the outside of a tree. Sorry, tell that to a Japanese person. Can you hear that bark? Sorry, can I hear that tree? Or can you touch that bark? Sorry, can I touch a dog's noise? A bat. There's a good one. Bat. Two meanings for bat. Cricket bat. Flying mouse. Date. Two meanings for date. Day of the week or fruit. Rose. There are three meanings for rose. One. A flower. Or getting up. Row. Line and what you do with oars. We know we're used to this sort of thing, but there are Jesus is saying two things at the same time in our passage, verses 35 and 36. On the one hand, I'm God's enemy, I'm the ungrateful and the evil. And then verse 36, be merciful. Even as your Father is merciful. He's calling us not just to be merciful, but to reflect the Father's mercy. So the extraordinary thing with this is that his call to love is to those that have embraced God's love for you. So in other words, it's not me. It's not as if I'm cooking up this extraordinary love. God has loved me, and so I reflect that love to others. I'm to behave like my heavenly Father who loved his enemies. That's exactly how God has loved you. So in a way, what we're doing is we're praying to him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't reach your standard. I accept that I am ungrateful. I'm a sinner. I desperately need your forgiveness, and I need your Spirit. I need to be so grateful to God that just as you've loved me, so I will love others too, even the most unlovable. So my motivation in this ambitious command is to be merciful, because my heavenly Father has been merciful and kind to me. And Jesus is calling us to sacrifice ourselves just as he sacrificed himself for us. He loves his enemies, and so he calls you and me, his followers, to do the same, to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us. We have this incredible privilege of inheriting our Father's nature, to participate in his own character. He's merciful to rebels like us. He never tires of doing good, and he calls us to mirror the love that he has for his enemies. So he's calling us to be merciful, even to those who are the most difficult to love, to follow him in his footsteps on his way to the cross. I count among God's enemies the ungrateful and the evil, and yet God has had mercy on me. God has had mercy on you. I rely on his mercy for my salvation. He gives me his mercy. And now he calls me to be merciful. So, do you recognize that you are naturally God's enemy? You're lost. You're that lost sheep. You're outside of his love naturally. And have you surrendered and begged for his mercy? Lord, I I fall so far short of your standard of love. Please forgive me. Please bring me into your family. Now, to finish, I want you to either think this in your head or grab a pen if you've got one, or get your phone up with your notes. And I want you to write down the name of three people you find most difficult to love. Don't tell me it's hard. I got to five in about 30 seconds. Come on. Three. Three people you find most difficult to love. You'll all find the first one dead easy. Oh, I see. You're all finding it very easy to get three. You're finding it very easy. Oh, dear. You're like me. What you've just done, or are you still thinking about it? Have you got three? You got three? You got five? You got six? No. What you've just done is you've just written down your prayer list for the week. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. So here's our challenge. Pray for those three people each day this week. Because you know what will happen. The Lord is going to move your heart. You're going to speak to them. You're going to meet them. You're going to call them. It will change things as you love your enemies. It's a little thing. So this authoritative, alarming, amazing, and ambitious command, how do we react to this being naturally an enemy of God, but also this amazing declaration that God loves us, his enemies? And also, it's this ambitious call to all those to whom God has shown kindness and mercy to love our enemies just as Jesus loves us all the way to the cross. Let's pray. Our Father, we recognize that this challenge to love our enemies is provocative and outrageous. The standard is so high and beyond us. And our first reaction is to get down on our knees and to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I can't reach your standard naturally. Please forgive me. Please take away my sin. Thank you that Christ died on the cross so that I can be completely forgiven. And now, Father, give me your spirit to be merciful just as you've been merciful to me. Father, we thank you for this incredible challenge. We pray we pray that you'd help us to pray for our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, to turn the other cheek, that this week our attitude would be one of God's been merciful to me, so I'll be merciful to others, even those that I don't love. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.